You know what? You can go ahead and take your seats. Amen. Today we are talking about frontline workers. Amen.
All right.
Yeah. And we understand that it's women on the front line, but I also look around and I see some men on the front line too. Amen.
Right.
So if it's okay, why don't we just go ahead and merge that together? Amen. Speaking to the women, amen, but also dealing with the men, that we all should be, amen, frontline workers. Amen.
Right.
I do understand that we are amid a faithless generation, amen, that runs into the excuse mode at the first sign of real sacrifice.
Come on. You know you're right.
Real trouble and real hard times, amen. And I call this the stand-in crew. They are fillers in the congregation, you know, the seat warmers who have no intent of really supporting the vision that you have, amen. They just show up because somebody told them to, amen. But they really have no intention of focusing on the vision and doing what the church is really purposed to do, amen. They are what I call the seeds of Satan. They are sensual, having no spirit of God, amen. They are separates who devise, amen, people and looks at the intent of being that of evil, amen. They invite others to evil. In other words, I'm about to go do something wrong. You ought to come along with me. Amen. And you know them. We know them. They have no moral integrity. Amen. They have no moral vision, and they are hypocrites of the gospel, seeking only to fulfill their own lust. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Amen. And their own desires and their own ways. It's all about self. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about this. It's all about that. Amen. But it's never about God. You understand who those people are. Amen. You recognize them. You see them in your congregation. Amen. And all they did was take up space and start fights. All they did was, they were the fire starters. Amen. They'd get some mess started and then they'd run out. I don't hear nobody saying that. Amen. They are the seeds of Satan. Amen. And unfortunately, we have to deal with that population of faithless believers. They don't believe in God. They believe in something else, but it's not God. Amen. And for many of us, we have asked this question, what do we do when we are coming up against this faithless generation? Have you ever just been upset in your spirit because you didn't know how to handle it?
All right.
Because I realize that we are in a season or a time, I don't know how you want to look at it, but I realize that there is something on the inside of many frontline workers who have this feeling that keeps challenging us, amen, to do something, even we don't know what we're supposed to do.
All right.
It's like, I gotta do something, but I just don't know what to do.
All right.
You know, and I thought about this particular challenge, and the only person that I could really come to, amen, outside of Jesus Christ himself was Esther.
All right.
Because she too was faced with a moral obligation. See, this is the thing. If you are a Christian, you have a moral obligation to stand up for what is right. But the truth of the matter is we have become quiet. We have said nothing about the enemy coming in on our children. We have said nothing about the enemy coming in on our families. We have said nothing about the enemy coming into our homes, coming into our marriages. We have said absolutely nothing. And the enemy has had his way in our lives. But we as Christians have a moral obligation to stand up for what God has called right. We have a moral obligation to say, this is what thus said the Lord.
That's right.
The problem is moral integrity has left the pulpits. Y'all not going to help me? Amen. And as it has left the pulpits, it has left the pews. Nobody is saying anything. We're all sitting by and letting everything else have its way but God. I'm not going to get no help. The true pastor, we have stood up here and we have cried loud and we have spared not, amen, but the people, they get it, but they don't want to do nothing about it. And the truth of the matter is Esther understood that if I be quiet now, not only is my generation at stake, but the whole nation is at stake. Don't you realize that you are in a war? Whether you are one that has been drafted in this thing or one that has signed up for it, you are really in a war.
Right now, take your time. All right,
preach.
I guarantee you in a war.
Oh, yeah.
Every day you're fighting for something.
Yeah.
You're fighting for your sanity. You're fighting for your children. You're fighting for your marriage. Come on, y'all. You're fighting for something. We are in a war, whether we want to be in one or not. Sweetie, you're in a war. It's time to pull back your hair, put that grease on your face. I don't hear nobody saying nothing. Take the rings off. Take them shoes off. Because we're in a fight. And at the end of it, God is still going to be glorified. The question is, will you be a casualty or one that is a victory?
All right.
devil's going down, whether you like it or not. The devil's going. Let me tell you, I heard somebody say, nah, the devil may have won the battle, but God gonna win the war. That's a lie. God wins the battles, and God wins the war. There is no loser in God. Now, I don't know what God you serving. It might be the lowercase g. That may be your God, and he's always defeated. If you're serving the God of this world, you will never get the things right. God.
Yeah.
Y'all really?
Right.
You know who you're serving.
Right.
Can I prove it?
Right.
I'm going to prove it with Esther. Because right. Esther had this to say. Are y'all,
come on,
have your word.
Come on, y'all.
Now.
Work with it.
Take your time.
Take your time.
10 more minutes.
Take your time. Take your time.
Don't please.
Don't.
Yes, ma'am. Don't. I want to give you some pointers when we talk about frontline workers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
First thing is that we have to walk through times of obscurity.
All right.
Times that seem dark, times that are gloomy. You're going to have to walk through it. You can't get out of going through darkness.
You can't do it. That's it.
Just like the shadow, you can't stop the shadow from chasing you.
That's right. Come on.
You can't get out of passing through.
Say that.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Darkness.
Yeah, that's it. Come on.
Do you understand that?
Come on.
But the question is, how do you deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth of the matter is, this generation, amen, of people,
all right,
church folk, I'm not going to say real Christians, because we know what it really looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But this generation who run to the masses, amen, they keep hearing these microwave messages,
uh-huh,
amen, name it and claim it. But then when the obstacles come, they have no faith.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
The faith to believe God.
Yeah. Come on, daughter.
It's not there.
That's right. Come on.
Because they haven't been taught that you got to go through these dark times and come out victorious.
That's right.
So that you can have a testimony for someone else. It's not really about you.
Uh-huh.
It's about coming out with the strategy
on
how to defeat the enemy.
Yeah.
How did you make it through? That's what I want to know. How did you come out of your... You know, we always crying about what we going through.
All right.
Take notes of how you got out of it.
That's right.
Everybody ought to be able to write a book on that. How I got out of my stuff. Because the truth is this is how we help one another. That way, when you go through what I went through, I can go ahead and tell you how I got through it. But the problem is we shut our mouths and we don't say anything. And we allow people around us to die in their situation, go through their heartache, and then go through their trouble. We don't even offer a hand to lift them out of it. We just watch them.
Preach.
You're right.
That's
you're
it.
Right.
Come on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You tell them.
So we have to walk through times of obscurity. So here's the truth. When we are walking through these times, one of the things to keep in mind, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
When you are coming through these times of obscurity and you are a frontline worker, one of the things that you must know is found. Amen. I'm going to look at verse 4. This particular text, it says, so Esther Mays and her chamberlains came and told her. Do y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Esther Mays and chamberlains came and told her. If you won't get out of what you are in, you have to have access to all the right information.
All right.
You have to have access to the things that are around you.
All right.
If people ain't telling you what's going on, how you going to fix it?
All right.
If the leaders don't know what's happening in their own house, how they going to know? No, y'all really? If y'all are not talking and giving the leaders the information that they need, how can they make the right decision outside of seeking God? And then you get mad at them because they went in your house and your friend's house, amen, because God done told them everything about you. Does that make sense? So the truth of the matter is if you're a frontline worker, you must have access to the information. And so the Bible says that Hatchet and these king's chamberlains came in and they told her what was going on. And then not only that, but let's keep reading. It said, then was the king exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he received it not. Did y'all see that in verse 4? Here's the truth. You can't offer up false sense of provision and security. Quit doing it. People don't want, amen, to be pacified. They want to know how to get through their situation. Mordecai came with a real issue, and he didn't want you to give him some clothes.
That's right.
How is this somebody begging for bread and you're going to offer them a pair of shoes. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Y'all help me out right now.
That's right.
You're attending to the wrong need.
That's right. Yeah. Take your time, doctor.
Look.
Come on.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Help us, Father. We have to be careful to hear God and know exactly what it is that the people need.
Amen.
So that way we'll know what to offer them. That way we don't give them a false sense of security, right? So that way when we hear them say, you know what, Lord, I'm crying out to you. Why are you crying out to him?
Come on.
Well, why are you all up in my business? So I'll know how to help you.
Come on.
Verse 5, then called Esther for Hatchet, one of the king chamberlains who had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. As a frontline worker, it is important to consider what happened and why it happened.
That's it.
You understand that?
Yeah.
You got to know why things are going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the right questions.
Jesus.
Make the right inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's okay to be nosy, Christians.
All right.
Y'all nosy about everything else. Let's tell the truth. We nosy about every... I'm going to be honest. I am. I like to know everything. Is that just me?
All right.
No.
It's okay to want to know the why and the what.
All right.
As a frontline worker, you need to know the why and what of a situation.
That's right.
How do you know how to address it if you don't know the why and the what?
Amen. All right.
That's right.
Come on, daughter.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Let's keep going. Verse 6. So Hatch went forth to Mordecai into the streets and was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened to him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury for the Jews destroy them.
My God.
Also, he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them,
mm-hmm.
to shew it to Esther and to declare it unto her and to charge her that she should go unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make a request before him for the people.
Right.
It is important that we hear the charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. The pastors are up here preaching and they're telling you what to watch out for and they're giving you a charge to keep. I don't hear nobody saying nothing.
Man.
It is important that you go out and you pray for your family.
Yeah.
Every Sunday they're giving you a charge and they're telling you exactly what you need to do. And this is how you need to do it. And this is when you need to do it. Come on, y'all. And they're giving you the instruction so that you can keep the charge.
That's right. All right. All right.
Amen.
That's right.
But what has happened is the charge has fell on deaf ears. And then we wonder why we're in trouble on Monday morning. You didn't hear nothing, hallelujah, of what the word was saying. The Spirit was crying out to you all Sunday morning, telling you to change, telling you not to go left, telling you not to do that. Come on, y'all. But we don't hear the charge, but we wonder why the house is in trouble. Y'all think that people come up here just to be crying out to God for no reason? Absolutely not. We're doing it because there's a charge that God has given us.
Right.
We're doing it because there's something that the people have to get. We're doing it because we have to say what God has told us to say. And most of the time, it's direction that's going to help you.
All right. Amen.
Matter of fact, all the time.
All right.
It is something that's going to help you, but it keeps falling on rocks. It keeps falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
It keeps falling. There's nothing that's catching it. Amen. And today, as frontline workers, you ought to catch a hold of the charge.
All right. All right. All right.
You got to catch a hold of the charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you know that your family really is in trouble?
Yeah. Right.
I told you were in a fight. You don't really believe that?
Oh, yeah.
I'll prove it in a second. We are in a fight. And so he gives the charge, amen, so that Esther understands just how important this is.
Uh-huh.
When people are over you and telling you what thus said the Lord, you better believe it.
That's right.
And if I heard it twice early today, that you are halt between two opinions. And you're not choosing a sign. Don't you hear the charge that God is telling you to choose? Whose team you gonna be on? Esther had the same option. Either you can choose. choose to sit in the king's house and be quiet.
Yeah.
You can sit back there and act like you don't want to say nothing.
Yeah.
Knowing that there's a charge down in your belly.
Yeah.
Knowing that God told you you got to do something.
Yeah.
You can act like you don't want to do it if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But I'm here to let you know that God is saying, I am charging you.
Yeah.
To do what I told you to do.
And
it's your decision on what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You got to choose. Touch your neighbor and say, choose. There's a word in this house today. Somebody is sitting here, still don't know what they want. They still haven't decided what they want to go. Somebody in here is sitting on the fence, and you haven't decided who you're going to make your God. But I'm here to let you know that if you don't decide, he will decide for you. I wish I had some help, but that's okay. I'm going to prove it in just a moment. Y'all switching my mode, but I hear the Lord. Revelations chapter 3. Says something that's very important.
Yeah.
If you don't want to make a decision on who you want to decide to choose, God said, I'm going to make a decision for you. Look at your neighbor and say, God will decide. If you can't decide, God said he will decide. If you don't want to decide, well, Lydia, how was he going to decide? He said, if you cannot choose to be hot or cold, if you have not decided if you want to be hot, if you have not decided if you want to be cold, stay right there for a moment. And you're not hot, and you're not cold. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And anything God takes out of his mouth, he never puts it back. I don't hear nobody saying, God is not a man that returns back to his body. He don't go back to something that he let go before. You better decide. Just talk.
over and went out one ear and out the other. You have chose who you're going to decide to serve, but God is saying, choose me.
Choose him.
It's just that simple, choose me. You go ahead and clap your hands, I'm ready. Y'all got me. Y'all got me, y'all. Y'all got me, y'all. On a whole nother thing, but that was God. You understand that you gotta choose who you wanna serve. You got to make a choice. Esther had to make a choice whether or not she was gonna sit in the house and act like she didn't know what was going on, or whether she would respond to her moral obligation.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We have a moral obligation to make sure our children are right.
Amen.
We have a moral obligation, hallelujah, to make sure our marriage is right.
Amen.
We have a moral obligation. Yes. Y'all hear that?
Yes.
Okay. Look, really? I had this one last part, and then I'm done.
That's all right.
We are undergirded with moral integrity.
My God.
And I want you to understand that this is not a popular topic because moral integrity means doing the right thing when no one is looking. Moral integrity has left the church.
Yes.
Jesus. It's more moral hypocrisy. It's doing the right thing when only people are looking.
Come on.
If I go get any help. You know, moral integrity is doing what is right because it is the right thing to do. But the problem is it means that we risk losing our friends.
That's it. That's it.
It means that we risk losing a place of comfort. It means that we risk being thrown into a place where we have to make the right choices.
My God.
And a lot of times we don't want to make the right choices. I don't hear nobody saying that because it's going to cost us some things. But if you're on the front line on today, amen, you got to risk it all to save
life. Gotta do it. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
You're going to have to risk it all. You're going to have to risk it.
Oh, yeah.
You just not yet. I am a Christian.
That's it.
You're going to have to go ahead and go on to school. I know you've been, what's that word? Secret agent. I know you've been acting as a double agent. You know how Esther was. You know, she had to go ahead and tell everybody she was a Jew. You are going to have to go ahead and tell people you're a Christian.
That's it.
You're going to have to go ahead and tell them you're on the praise and worship team. Come on, y'all. You're going to have to go ahead and tell them you're a musician and that you love the Lord. Come on, y'all.
Yeah.
It's time for you to make a stand.
Yeah.
If you don't do anything, do that. Do something. Be who God has called you to be. Do you love the Lord on today? I'm almost done. I just want to say this one last part. Amen. I want to say this last part. You are a frontline worker, and if you are willing to do something, and I know many of us have faith, but do you have faith to work it?
My God.
Do you understand that? Faith without works is what?
You're dead.
So while you're going around, I told you got to tell people you're a Christian. Guess what? Now you got to act like one. Uh-oh.
All right.
Clap your hands. When you tell folks you're a Christian, the faith behind that is when the trial comes, the tribulation comes, you still got to act like one. Because you have a moral obligation to do what is right.
Amen.
Our faith says when we do our part, we believe God that he will do the rest. Do you believe that?
Yes,
you know, I risked all. I'm done. I'm going to tell you this testimony as you take your seats. But I risked all. It was about...